At times we lose sight of the fact that we face a powerful spiritual enemy who seeks to devour us. Then there are times when we feel like we must battle against these things, and battle against these powers. Pastor Tim's talks about resisting the devil today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, last week we learned that God opposes the proud, but gives a grace to the humble. Gives a grace to the humble. We have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. It's a really an Old Testament theme that Peter picked up on, because when the children of Israel, if you read back when they were leaving their bondage, is that he one of the things that God would say to Moses, said, "Tell them out of my mighty hand I will lead you." And so that mighty hand is the same as it was then as it is today. Aren't you glad of that? I know I am. That same mighty hand can lead us. But we have to come to the place that we have a humility. And that it says in God's Word in verse 7 of 1 Peter 5 that we went over last week, that He will exalt us in due time. And I'm thankful for that, because I don't want to get ahead of the Lord. Is that He will exalt us in due time if we come to a place that we can come in our hearts and say, "Lord, we are. My heart is under Yours," so that we're able to be able to do what He has called us to do. One of the things that I do right before I get up to preach is I say those words to myself: "Lord, it's Yours. It's Yours." Because when the Lord set me free many years ago, when I was in such a pain and hurt and in bondage, I remember throwing myself on the altar and I said, "Lord, it's Yours." And all that burden and all that stuff that went on, just He healed me of. And ever since then, right before I get up to preach or to speak or wherever I am, I said, "Lord, it is Yours." Now, when we have humility in our life, it opens ourselves up for God to lead us and to direct us. When pride is the king of our heart, is it leads us to places that we don't want to go. It leads us into bad decisions. It leads us to do things that we would not otherwise do, because we have such pride in our heart. So that's the reason that God says that He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. We enter this relationship with the Lord knowing that everything depends on Him, but at the same time knowing we can't sit back and just do nothing. We enter this relationship with the Lord knowing it all depends on Him. All depends on Him, but we just can't sit back and not do anything. So Peter, he wants us to know something. He says these things that we have to rest in the love of Jesus. We have to allow Him to lead our lives. But he also says there's a part that we have to play in this also. There's a part in our lives that we have to do. And so Peter, describes it this way in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse number 8. It says, out of discipline yourselves. Now that's tough, isn't it? Amen? Are we alive today? I feel like we've been kind of a little bit today. Out of discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have a suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you His eternal glory in Christ, listen, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that a good word? That's a wonderful word today. It says to out of discipline yourselves. That is a very difficult thing for most of us to do. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
Discipline yourselves. I think some of you say amen and you don't even have enough trouble with it. But discipline yourselves. Keep alert. I believe that the Lord, and I was got to think about this. You know, I watched the Discovery Channel once in a blue moon. We used to watch it a lot. But the Meerkat episodes, you remember those? Are they still on? I don't know if they are or not. But I used to love to watch those. Am I saying it right? Meerkats, is that right? I love to watch those because they would have a family, and there was always, no matter what type of day it was, one was always on guard. Always keeping alert. There was always one looking. And I believe sometimes that God put those things in animals. I know I'm a deer hunter, and sometimes a turkey hunter. I hadn't gone in 3 years, but I do. I like it when I do go. Jamie kind of brought that out to me the other day. He says, "You always talk about turkey hunting, but you never go." But I watch these animals. And whenever they're eating, they're very out of discipline, and they're eating, they're very disciplined around. They always throw their head up, and they're always looking. Always, always, always looking. I believe that God put something in them to have that awareness, to be alert, to be alert. They was always protecting themselves and the others around them. We can learn a lot from this. We can learn a lot from it. We have to cast ourselves on the Lord, which gives us freedom and security. But he says we must stay alert. Why? Just the way that a lion will hide in the lead, in the weeds and in the bushes and then sneak up. And then when he does, it's a loud moment when he had to capture something. But before he captures something, he is quiet, he sneaks, and then he devours that fast, and is over with. And so with this thought in our heart and our mind, Peter was trying to tell the ones that he was writing to, all through this, I know that you're suffering, I know you want to do things right, I understand that it's hard and it's difficult, and I see all these things, but and I've called you to bring you a humility in your life. I've called you to cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. But in the midst of that, you cannot stop. You have to discipline yourselves and keep alert. You have to do things in your life that He's called you to do. We often think once we get saved for whatever reason, is that once we're saved and we're right with the Lord, and it seems like that we are on a fire for the Lord, and we discipline ourselves within the disciplines of the faith, that we want to have those times of fasting. We want to have those moments of silence when we just sit before the Lord, and we discipline ourselves in those type things. But as we grow in the Lord, as we go on, it seems like, well, I think I might have this now. So we don't spend as much of the time with these disciplines of the faith. But he calls us to keep alert. To keep alert. The responsibility we have to one another. Peter was probably thinking about himself when he was writing this. Because Jesus went to Peter before Jesus went to the cross. He says, "Peter, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat." Peter's response was, "Oh Lord, help me. My goodness, he has called my name." No, Peter's response was, "Oh Jesus, I got this. I will go to the grave with you, Jesus." There was no humility of the heart. It was nothing but pride. It sounded good. We will say the same thing sometimes. Says, "I've got this. Whoa, I would go to the. I would die for the Lord." And in fact, a lot of times we don't even live for it now. That we don't even live for Him, but we're willing to die for Him because we think that's great. See the whole point last week. I'll say it again. Well, God thinks it's great. We very seldom think it's great. So, in other words here, if we want to keep alert, we have responsibility. It's just not for ourselves. So what would happen if Peter had really had humbled himself when Jesus said, "The devil has come and wants to sift you like wheat"? What if he had humbled himself and says, "Lord, help me, teach me, what must I do?" that when they were sort of the night before that they came to arrest Jesus, they were asleep. Peter, James, and John were asleep. And Jesus had to wake them up, watch and pray, so you will not fall into temptation. Here it is again. Jesus says, you need to watch and you need to pray that you will not fall into temptation. If Peter had responded to the Lord the way we should respond, says, Lord, help me. The devil wants to sift me like wheat. If you know anything sifting like wheat, I know about that much about it. It's a heavy process. It's a big process. It's a long process. And he could have said, James and John, wake up. We got to stay awake for this. And when it came down to that moment when a girl began to see Peter at a campfire outside where they had taken Jesus, they said, do you know him? Remember, he said, I will die for you. In that moment, he was so weak in his faith, he says, I've never known the man. And we say to ourselves, why do we struggle so much that we don't even recognize the evil when it's right there? That we do not even see it, recognize it. Peter should have recognized what was going on. He had walked with the Lord and talked with the Lord. He should have recognized it. But he didn't. We are the same way. We should recognize those moments when we realize that Satan is coming against us. He wants to devour us. And we should recognize. And Jesus is saying to us like he did to Peter, James, and John, watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter could have been a watchman, but he failed. And now he's writing a few years after the death of Jesus, telling his disciples, discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Trust me. Peter's saying, trust me. I know what I'm talking about here. He says, I'm not just writing this just to be writing it. Trust me. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Keep alert because the devil wants to devour you. And I've seen it throughout my life. I've seen it out through other people's lives that call themselves a Christians. Is that we should recognize the works of the devil, the works that's going on. At the beginning of the service, you know, James, he read out of Ephesians, that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but most of the time, you know what the problem is? Is that we fight against flesh and blood. We really honestly do. Did you hear what she said about me? Did you hear what he said about me? Do you believe what's going on with this and that and the other? And we begin to wrestle with one another as Christian people. It's like we fight against flesh and blood. Well, he looked at me wrong. I was going to make a joke, but never mind. And we should recognize that moment when someone maybe just look at us wrong. Instead of bowing up, I said, I'll bow up, all children run because they're afraid of me. Instead of bowing up, we should say, I give them the benefit of the doubt. They're having this a bad day. That's the difference between flesh and blood and knowing there's something going on behind the scenes. In other words, that I recognize that moment that I could get my feelings hurt. That moment that I could have anger. That moment, you know, that I could say some things back. That moment that I could really just whoo into someone. Is I recognize my battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against evil forces and principalities of this world that's coming against me. That's coming against me. And Peter's saying, keep alert. Keep alert, just not for yourselves, but I believe for all of us. Keep alert. Let me tell you something. Sin will devour you. Sin will devour me. It will take you places you don't want to go. It will strip you of things that you thought you would never do. That you would never do. You look back on it and go, how did I get here? How did I arrive at this moment in my life? I've sat with people in that's locked up. It's one thing in common. They all say, so listen to me. This is so good, I'm going to come down on the second step. One thing in common. They say almost the same words. How did I get here? I'm a Christian. How did I get here? And it's always a conversation that I have because I want to know the answer. And I always ask, tell me how. And I'll summarize, because they did not recognize the devil in the weeds. Bringing little things here and there. Coming in here and there. Not even recognizing it. And all of a sudden they wake up and they're sitting in jail. You say, well, I'm not going to jail. You say, I don't have that in my life. True for most of us. That we sit here with pride in our life. If I stand here with pride in my life, I am one step away from a sin that will destroy me forever. Will destroy me forever. Every marriage that I've ever seen that split up started not with an infidelity. Did start with a lot of fussing or getting along. It started with pride in our life. That's where it starts. It starts with pride. And Peter's trying to tell them, he said, I once was that man. I had pride. I was once that man that says, Jesus, I will go with you. Peter was always the one that when something needed going, I'll do it. I got it. Woohoo! You know? And in the moment that could have been his greatest moment, he says, I've never known him. When someone asked him. And now he is saying to his disciples, and I'm saying as your shepherd to my sheep, discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Keep alert. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. And when he finds you, he's not going to stop. Until you do this. And he's still going to continue to come to listen. Looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith. Steadfast in your faith. Resist him. Resist him. In the Greek here, it's not like something that we go after and have to attack. It's more about to defend oneself against someone attacking us. Your faith in the Lord is what we need to resist. Your faith and understanding that I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's already told me up here to cast all my cares upon Him because He cares for me. In other words, we resist Him by knowing who we are, by understanding that I have to rest in that care. Knowing to resist him is not that I have to begin to fight and have a battle against Satan. There's a lot of teaching out there that says that we got to rage war against the devil. No, you don't. All you got to do is just live right, and the war has already been won. All you got to do is walk in the light he's given you. You don't have to rage against anything. You just walk in the light that he's already given you. You don't have to rage. It sounds good. You know, we got to get up, church, and really fight against the devil and well, we're going to win, and we pump us up, we jump and holler and scream. when it's more about surrendering. It's more about surrendering. It's more about surrendering. And so we resist Him by knowing who we are, that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the One that created the whole world. It is not necessarily fighting back, but resting in your faith on who Jesus is, not on who we are, but knowing who we are in Him, is we'll be able to live a victorious life. Then He says, and I just love the way Peter just paints all this. Resist Him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. This truth, here's a truth. You're not alone in your suffering. You're not alone. He's saying there's people all over the world are enduring some type of suffering, or the same type of suffering. You're not alone. Don't think for a moment that you're the only one that is suffering. Don't think for a moment that you don't want to, you have it harder than someone else. And it looks like, in reality, that some do have it harder than others. For whatever reason, some of their, they didn't do anything. It just seems like it just the world keeps dumping and keeps dumping. Don't think for a moment you're alone. It should, in those moments, make us say, Lord, I understand. I'm not alone. It should make us want to move and be able to help my brother and my sister. It should, I encourage people, when you're suffering, when you're going through something, one of the best things you can do is not to lock yourself up, is to help someone else. Yes, there's a time that we need to be just sit back and say, Lord, someone just got a love on me. I'm not saying yes. But in the midst of our suffering and our pain, we have to recognize that there's others around us. Sometimes we get the tunnel vision that we're the only one that's dealing with anything. Dealing with anything. I remember one time a good friend, she said these things to me. She had an incident with somebody, and she said, this lady came to her and said, I wasn't invited to y'all's group's outing. And this lady was really, really hammering this other lady about it. He says, you know, I should have, you know, and she was really being ugly to her and says, I can't believe that you didn't think of me, that, you know, I've been going through this and this and this. And finally, this lady here stopped. She went, will you just stop for a moment? Do you realize that we're about to lose our home because my husband hadn't worked in 9 months? Do you realize that we're probably going to have to go move in back with my mom and dad, and we're almost in our 50s? Did you even realize what I'm going through? See the point that I'm making? A lot of times we get into this moment of suffering, and we think that we're the only ones that ever exist. According to Peter, everyone around us are dealing with something. I'm not saying for a moment what you're going through doesn't matter, because it does. I'm not saying for a moment that you shouldn't scream out and say, I need some help. Please do. Please do. I'm not saying any of those things. What I'm saying is that there's suffering everywhere. And in that, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I suffered many years. I bring this up a lot with a stutter. And I had tunnel vision for so long. Of Lord, why me? Why do I have to talk this way? Why do when I go and try to order a meal at a restaurant, the waitress always turns her head and looks at me? It's always a big joke. Anyway, you heard me tell it before. I told some guys in college, and we went out to eat. I said, I'm going to order, and I'm probably going to stutter. I guarantee you, she looks at me and turns her head. So I tried to order, and I was getting to stutter really bad. She went, And of course, they all started laughing. Then it made her cry because they thought she was laughing at me. It was a big ordeal after that. But the point is I felt like I was the only one that God hated. Lord, why do you despise me so much? And then I came to realization finally. Back in 87, 88, right over there on that Monday afternoon, that God cares for me. That He loves me. And He made me just the way He wanted to create me for whatever reason that He did. And I'm not the only one. And when those scales fell off of my eyes and my heart, I began to see, oh my goodness, look at over here, she's suffering. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. I looked over here and I saw another one suffering or something. I went, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know. Because I thought I was the only one. You might say, well, Tim, that's silly. How in the world did you think you were the only one? Come on, we all act this way, sooner or later in our lives, in the point of our life, that we think we're the only one. I've been there. I came to a little realization that God does care. Let me hurry real fast. The truth is that it says in God's Word that suffering only lasts for a little while. And what I take from that is that when He set me free from that moment, my suffering lasted only a little while. Then He called me to preach, called me to go to college. He finally let me get married after being 90 years old. And I look back on it now. If I had just kept that tunnel vision, I would not be standing here today. I'm thankful that He shared that scripture, my life verse, with me. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, into my mighty hand, and I will exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Can you get that truth today? He says, just discipline yourselves and keep alert. The devil is out to get you. He wants to take away what the Lord has given you. He wants to steal it away. It's His job. He wants to take it away because He senses the peace within you. Don't allow it. It says, by God of all grace, calling you into His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself, not some self-help book, not another conference, but will Himself restore you, support you, strengthen you, and establish you. Restore means just to supply that which is missing, to mend the brokenness in us, setting us free, supporting us to make solid as granite. A surfing will either collapse us or make us rock solid in Him. It's our choice on which way we're going to go. It's our choice. It's our choice. When sickness comes, it's our choice to wallow in defeat or trust. When the death of loved ones, it's our moment to grieve the way He wants us to grieve. But at the same time, supporting us and blessing us and loving us. He says He will strengthen us. He says the Lord Himself will give you strength. He will fill you, listen to me, with His strength. His strength will not come if we have pride in our life. It will nowhere to be found. But when we humble ourselves, His strength comes. And He will establish us. Suffering has a way to wipe away all of this out here. And it gets us down to a foundation. And in those moments, you will know where that foundation is. Within moments. I have sat with you, many of you, and we have cried. We have cried and we've hurt together. Oh, but for the foundation that I see. Oh, the foundation. Yes, life is hard and difficult. But when the world throws you these things, like granite, the foundation of Jesus Christ says, I will not turn back, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. Because of who He is. Isn't that a wonderful truth? It's not trying harder. It's about surrendering. That's what humility is all about. And Peter is writing out of his own hurt and his own pain, I believe, as the Holy Spirit gave him direction. And I'm here today to warn you. If you are a believer, the devil wants to devour you. He's already got the ones that don't know Him. And you look at their lives and what is. But He's after you. He's after me. I say it all the time. One wrong accusation towards me, one accusation that's not true at all. As a pastor, my life is over. And so I try to protect those moments. In other words, I don't want to give a place for the devil to come in and find an opening to devour. He's doing the same thing with your marriages. Is you have that opening and he walks right through it and you don't even recognize it. And boom, it's so fast. Let me finish. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And once again, Peter reminds him, to Him be the power forever and ever. Where are you with the Lord? Where are you with the Lord? Do you know Him? Do you know Him today? I sure hope you get to know Him today. I want you to stand.
So often the enemy of our soul convinces us that we have nowhere to stand, that we have nowhere to resist. It is our hope and our prayer that you, as you grow in maturity, will recognize that when you resist the devil, he will flee. God bless you. We hope you have a great week. On behalf of the Freedom Church family and our senior pastor, Tim Thomas, this is Pastor James, St. John. Have a great week.